If you will turn with me this morning to the very last book of the Word of God, the book of the Revelation, into chapter 5. I am going to read as our text verses 11, 12, and 13 of the Revelation chapter 5. And we shall do so after we bow for a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast given to us the blessed privilege of worship. We thank Thee that Thou hast spoken to us in the person of Thy Son and through the Holy Spirit. Now, as we shall wait upon Thee, as Thy Word is opened before us, so may our hearts be opened to receive its blessed and undeniable truths. Again, we ask for those who are without the Savior that they might come to know Him. For those, Heavenly Father, who need a place of worship, a place to anchor their Christian experience, may they come today. For those who need to rebuild the altars of their lives, may they do so in this time of worship. And we shall praise Thee as we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Today is Roundup Day here at Worth Baptist, and our minds naturally would think of this season when, for example, on the ranches, the ranchers are rounding up their cattle for a time of branding. I'm glad to report to you today that God is also in the roundup business. And there is no closed season with God. For over 6,000 years of human history, God has been rounding up souls just like you and me. I'm glad that I can stand and testify without any doubt this morning that a number of years ago when I was just a boy, the Holy Spirit rounded me up for Christ, and I'm in the fold, and I'm safe in the Lord Jesus Christ because He says to me, My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. My Father which gave them Me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. It is said that when old John Jasper, the colored preacher of Richmond, Virginia, was preaching his last sermon, that he gave to his congregation an account of something of what he thought was going to take place when he stood at the pearly gates to enter into the city of God. John Jasper says, Well, I know when I stands there that the angels gwine say, Who are you? And I's gwine say, I'm John Jasper from Richmond, Virginia. The angels gonna say to me, John Jasper, you ain't fit to enter these gates in your own merits. John Jasper said, I'm gonna say, Angel, I knows that I'm not fit to enter into these gates through my merits. But I tell you, angel, I'm not entering through my merits, but through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I'm glad today that we are going to get in through His merits. And by God's grace shall we be swept into the pearly gates of the city of God. The roundup is coming. I want to talk to you this morning about some of God's cowboys at work on this day of roundup. First of all, there was a roundup, and there is a roundup to salvation. To say this morning, beloved, that God wants all men to be saved would be the understatement of the year or the understatement of the ages. Listen to these words. God is not slack concerning his promises, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and live. And I'm convinced this morning that when God gave his invitation, that he gave it to all men. It matters not their race or creed or color or name or nationality. It matters not their state or status in society. When God looked upon a needy world, he looked upon all men. When he sent his son to die, he died for all men. And when he says come to all men. Nothing stands out more clearly than God's concern for the sinner. God is anxious. God is concerned. And I report to you this morning that everything that God has ever done relative to the human race has been done that the human race, sons of Adam, bound for hell, deserving of destruction, should be saved from the wrath to come. Oh, I would this morning that we might become somewhat elated and somewhat overjoyed when we think that the God of the universe is working for us. And all that he's ever done has been for our salvation. There's nothing more clear in the scriptures than God's universal call to mankind. The Bible commences with the word come. The Bible continues with the word come. And the blessed holy book ends with the word come. Over 500 times that word come is mentioned. God is calling. God is pleading. Jesus said, all day long I've stood with outstretched arms. Jesus is standing this morning. He's pleading for the sinner to come. He is saying to you, flee from the wrath to come. Come in. Come unto me, all of ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This, my beloved friend, is the hospitality of God. This is the welcome mat that is put out for us. The royal invitation is extended. The everlasting arms of God are open this morning. And there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. God is begging, God is pleading, God is asking for you to come. As he stretches out his hand and arm of invitation. Oh, there's a wideness in God's mercy like the wideness of the sea. There's a kindness in his justice which is more than liberty. There's pardon for the sinner. There's more graces for the good. There's mercy with the Savior and healing in his blood. There's no invitation like God's invitation. Nobody wants you like God wants you. The psalmist said, when my mother and father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. How do I know that God wants you this morning? I know it because he gave his son to prove it. I never grow weary. I never become bored. I never get tired of telling the story. That outside the ancient walls of the city of Jerusalem, the Son of God went upon a cross and died for me. I know that God loves me because this book says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He gave his word to assure that he wants you. John writes in his first epistle, chapter 5, these things have I written unto you that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, or on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. God gave his Holy Spirit to seal his desire for you. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, Paul says in Ephesians 4:30, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. His Son he gave to prove it. His Word he gives to assure it. His Holy Spirit he sends to seal it. Nowhere in all the Bible is the roundup for salvation better stated than it is with Noah, one of God's cowboys. Genesis 7:1, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. All this invitation this morning is a divine invitation. And the Lord said, and the Lord said, and the Lord said, I say to you this morning, the same God that spoke to Noah in the early days of the creation speaks now to you. And the Lord says to you, come. A divine invitation from God through the Holy Spirit and in His blessed Word. Not only is it a divine invitation, oh, but I love this, it is a family invitation. What is more beautiful than the family on their way to heaven together? You daddies and heads of homes, listen to me this morning. You're going to stand before God. God has given you the charge, the responsibility to bring your families into the right way. And you are going to account for it. You can be careless. You can be negligent. You can be unconcerned. You can be indifferent. But listen to me, daddy. Listen to me, husband. Listen to me, head of homes. God has placed the responsibility squarely upon your shoulders. God said to Noah. He didn't say to Noah's wife. He didn't say to Noah's children. God said to Noah because God had made Noah the head of the family. And it was a family affair. And I like the way that it is put in Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And thine house. Daddy, you must lead the way. God has opened the door to you. God has placed the responsibility upon you. All the family should come in. And I can imagine that Noah got his family rounded up real soon. And said to them, God said judgment is coming. God has called us into the ark, and I say to you this morning that the same God that decreed the judgment of the flood has decreed a greater judgment when the elements shall melt with fervent heat, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire with his holy angels to take vengeance upon them who know not God and who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's day of wrath is coming. John puts it this way in the Revelation 6. And in that day the mighty men and the captain and the bondsman and the freemen and all men, the mighty men of the earth, shall cry out unto the rocks and unto the mountains. And they shall say to the rocks and to the mountains, fall on us and hide us from him that sitteth upon the throne. For the day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to abide? God's wrath is coming. God's judgment is coming. Death is coming. And you best be ready and get the family on the way to heaven. God said to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. It's the sinner's invitation this morning. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Jesus said, come unto me, all of ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Bible concludes with a great invitation. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. It's the sinner's invitation. But somebody says, Pastor, you don't know my sins. Mister, you don't know my Savior. His blood can change the leper's spot. His blood can make the vilest sinner clean. The blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin and unrighteousness. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. Are round up to salvation. Are you saved? Are round up in the second place to revival. This is the need of the hour. To have our hearts rekindled a flaming fire again. You heard the story about the atheist who always downed the church, and one day he heard the fire wagons coming and the sirens blowing and the bells were gonging, and somebody said, "The church is on fire." And the first one on the scene was the atheist. And somebody said to him, "But why? What? This is the first time I've ever seen you at church." He said, "Yeah, and this is the first time the church has ever been on fire." If we want to attract the world, we must be on fire for God. And we need revival in these days. Revival to wake us up. Revival to stir us out of our lethargy, out of our laziness, out of our lukewarmness. A revival that will begin a fire that shall never be extinguished until Jesus comes again. That's what the church needs today. And another of God's cowboys was a man by the name of Jacob, who led a great roundup to revival. You know about Jacob's story. He was brought up in a God-fearing home. Thank God for Christian homes today. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Oh, but somebody said, "I've known them to stray." But have you ever known them to stay? They may stray, but brother, they're not going to stay. They're going to come back. God said they would. You mothers whose sons have gone the prodigal way, whose daughters have gone the way of the world, if you have brought them up and trained them and indoctrinated them in the Bible, you can go to sleep at night and thank God that one day, though they stray far, they're coming back. Jacob was brought up in a God-fearing home. And like the prodigal, he left to go the way of the world. But he came back. And Genesis 35 gives us the story. God came to Jacob and said to Jacob, "Arise." That's number one. All families, mothers and daddies, we need to arise this morning. Young people, we need to arise this morning. We need to arise above the things that hinder, above the things that we put up as excuses for our not going to church, above the things that we put up for excuses for our not serving God. We need to arise and get above these things. God said to Jacob, "Arise." And then he said, "Go to Bethel." You know what Bethel was? Is the place where Jacob had an experience with God. And God said, "Dwell there." You know, a lot of people rise up every once in a while and have a little spurt of religion, and they go to church for a Sunday or two, but they don't dwell there. Ought not to be that way, brother. God said to Jacob, "Arise and go to Bethel and dwell there." Then God said, "Build an altar there." Build an altar there. The need of the hour is for the rebuilding of the altars that have been torn down. We have built our altars to Baal. We have built our altars to gold and silver and materialism and pleasure. We need to tear these altars down and build an altar to Jehovah God. Go back to Bethel and dwell there and build an altar. And somehow I can imagine that Jacob began with his family, and he said to them, "Daddy has sinned." There was a time, and I would like to tell you about it, when at a place I had an experience with God. And I had a real experience with God. And when I was awakened, I said, I didn't know that the Lord was in this place. This is a terrible place. You know what Jacob said to his family? Jacob said, "Family, I promised God that I was going to go to his house. I promised God that I was going to tithe my income. I promised God that he would be my God forever. And here I am 20 years later. I've turned my back on God. I've turned my back on Bethel. I've turned my back on the altar." Many a member of Worth Baptist Church and many a Christian today, if you had but confessed to yourself and to your family and to your God, you must say the same thing today. There was a time when I was warm at Bethel, but I've turned my back on Bethel. I've turned my back on the book. I've turned my back on God. I've turned my back on the altar. But family, God has spoken to me. And the first thing you want to do is put away the strange gods. All that church members today would put away the strange gods of pleasure. The strange gods of money making and materialism and serve the true and living God. Put away the strange gods, Jacob. And Jacob said to his family, put away the strange gods. Jacob said, get cleaned up. You know, when a man gets away from God, he gets dirty. A man outside the church gets dirty. He gets stale. He needs a cleansing. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We need to come back to the fountain today. We need to come back to Bethel today. Jacob said, we. Now, Ms. Jacob didn't say this. And the children of Jacob didn't say this. But Jacob said, we are going back to Bethel. Daddy, let me tell you again, God's holding you responsible to get your family back to Bethel and build an altar, for every family needs an altar and every life needs an altar. Oh, that we might come back today to the place of our Bethel. You remember when you first trusted Christ? You remember that experience you had with God? You felt like you could face the world because you had Christ on your side. And it was a joy to you to sit down and read the Word of God, but now you don't have time. It was a joy for you to put your money in the cause of Christ, but now you can't afford to tithe. It was a joy for you to bring the family into Sunday night worship, but now you've just got too many other things to do. It was a joy for you to bring the family together on prayer meeting night, but now you're too busy. I say this morning we need to arise and go back to Bethel and dwell there and build an altar. Back to God. That's the hope for America today. Somebody said we need more missiles. We need more space machinery. I don't believe we need these. I believe we need revival. I believe we need to get back to God, because it's not by power nor by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. We need to get back to God this morning. Back to the altar. Back to the Bible. Back to the ancient path. Back to the Bethel of our experience with God. Because there's coming another roundup. And the roundup I'm talking about now is the roundup for heaven. This is the way Jesus put it. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming soon, for all the prophecies of the Scripture are already fulfilled. We've been waiting almost 2,000 years since Jesus was received up out of their sight. But the promise is still true. As you've seen him go away, so shall he come in like manner from heaven. Oh, Lord Jesus, how long, ere we shout the glad song, Christ returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. He's coming soon, he's coming for his own. He's coming for a roundup to heaven. Say, are you ready to go in with him? Would he come today finding you outside the church, outside the ark of safety, outside the roundup fold? You best get in, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Let us pray. Our Father, we truly thank thee this morning for the roundup of salvation. We thank thee for the roundup of revival. Bring us to the Bethel of our experiences today. We thank thee for the round up to heaven when Jesus shall come and claim us for his own, as unworthy as we are, that in the ages to come, ages unnumbered, we shall sing his praise. Heavenly Father, I ask thee this morning, take this message that I've tried to preach and deliver it to the hearts of men and women here today. Some who are outside Christ, bring them in today. Speak to them, oh, that they might receive thy wonderful invitation to come to salvation, even in this hour. For that young woman or that young man or that boy or girl, for that mother or daddy, for that family that's outside the confines of the church and they need a church home and they need a place to worship and a place to serve, bring them in today. For those homes that need revival, for those daddies and mothers who need to reaffirm their faith, who need to come this morning and rededicate and reconsecrate their lives to thee, I beg thee, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, bring them to an altar of prayer. Bring us to our knees. Bring us to revival. Bring us to the roundup for heaven. In Jesus' name we ask it, and for his sake, with thanksgiving.